Welcome to the iPodcast. This afternoon I'm talking to Steve Smith, one of our iHosts. Steve, welcome.
Thank you, Esther. It's good to be here.
Steve, tell me about the work you do with requirements.
Esther, I work for a major supplier of IT storage, and I get involved with our customers to define the requirements before we do some projects. To me, that's the excitement of it. I've seen so many projects fail, so many efforts at in any number line of IT, in the IT world, failed because people did not know what was absolutely required and what problems they were solving. So I feel very good about getting people together to come up with a consensus about what those requirements are, so that when they do the project, they have something to test against about whether they were successful or not.
How are they measuring success? In meeting the requirements, in meeting business value, some other way?
Well, this kind of will probably bridge into something, into the next topic, but the key is, you know, before you can establish requirements, you need to understand what the problem is you're trying to solve and why it's important to solve it. And often companies, in their rush to get things done, don't define those problems, so they can't say why they're doing it, so they have a hard time defining the value that comes from solving the problem. And that's a huge issue in justifying almost anything, is knowing what the value of the solution is.
So for you, the requirements really tie back to meeting the value of the business proposition.
Oh, absolutely. If a client can't successfully show a return to the business, and I don't know how they can do that without saying what problem they're solving, what return does the business see from that work? And the answer is zero.
So, Steve, how do you go about working with folks on understanding what the requirements are? Is there a particular forum you use?
For me, the most important thing is, or one of the most important things, is to get the right people in the room and exclude the people that shouldn't be there from the requirement session, which is not an easy thing to do. If, given that that's successful, you have to work on that to make sure that indeed the right people are in the room, then it's a matter of working with the people to see what the problem is. And one of the things that I do in that regard is, rather than coming up to someone and saying, define the problem that you're trying to solve, which will totally throw them into chaos, is I ask them to describe elements of the problem, and I give them post-it notes, and I ask them for each unique element to create a post-it, and I have them brainstorm that with themselves first, and then we spend maybe, it depends on the situation we're trying to solve, we spend some period of time letting them do internal brainstorming, and then they take those post-it notes and they share them with the group, and there's a way of doing that. But the key is not to define the problem, but to define elements of the problem, and we'll come back and define the elements of the problem after we get a complete view from all the participants.
So your first step in finding requirements is not to ask people, what do you need?
No, not at all.
It's to find out what the elements of the problem that they're trying to solve.
Without any real big foreshadowing either. Mm-hmm. When I have a requirements workshop, I don't ask for anybody to do any homework before the workshop. I ask them to come in, and I tell them that they know everything they need to know for the workshop. So if I ask them to define elements of their biggest problems, then eventually we may come up with a whole bunch of problem statements off of that thing. But we got to first start out by just getting it all out there in the board so everybody can see it. And then we can cluster later.
Mm-hmm. What's the most important information that needs to be discovered?
Why? Absolutely the biggest problem for most companies is why are we solving this problem. Indeed, we have to get the problem out there and we have to get it defined, but we have to understand why they need it solved. Because many times that's not understood at all by the very people that are in the room. Not all of them understand why they have to solve it. And when we work through why they have to solve it, and sometimes the answer is they don't have to solve it, then there's a lot of clarity that's brought to the situation. And a lot of understanding about what the return is for solving the problem. If you understand why, you can keep backtracking till you get to the value to the business.
So you can backtrack from the why and understand value. What happens going forward when people have a clear idea of the why behind the problem?
Then, if they understand the why behind the problem, then the highest priority things get done first. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that a lot of organizations that I work with have trouble with, is defining clearly what their priorities are and what their priorities aren't. Because we're also eliminating things during the requirements work. We're not just doing we're not just defining what must be done, but we're also defining what shouldn't be done and what mustn't be done. So there's a lot of things that come out of the requirements workshop that don't necessarily show up in the notes, or the people don't necessarily have documented per se, but they know in their minds clearly what the end result they want to achieve is. And that is, for me personally, as someone who leads this, a very exciting moment when everyone in the room recognizes the importance of something, mm-hmm. and is ready to proceed with it.
Do you have any examples of when people have failed to get that understanding and what the effects on the project are?
Well, if you don't know what problem you're solving, I think you're in trouble. And right off the get-go, and I think everybody understands that. But somehow, they proceed anyway. And what happens is they don't know where the end of the destination is. And so they just kind of wander like in the desert. And sometimes they run out of water holes and they just completely fail. And the project dies.
Or goes on
and
on.
That's if they keep finding water holes. Yeah, they can keep going on and on and on.
So going back to your requirements workshops, when you're in the room working with people, you've gotten a sense of what the elements of the problem are and what the real value is that you're going after in solving and in undertaking this project. What happens next?
Well, the key item that happens that closes the workshop is what are we going to do next? What's the next steps? We want to build an immediate, short-term plan, even if it's planning, or a date to do some more planning. We want to get the next steps down before we leave that room. Because there's a lot of energy about moving forward, so let's use that energy to define what needs to be done and get that up on the board so everybody can see that too. Now, one of the clear results that come out of the workshops that I lead is, what are the problems, why are they important, and what are the next steps?
Steve, what are some of the questions that really work well for you in requirements workshops?
Well, the number one question is a one-word question, which is why. And oftentimes I'll assign someone who's in the room as their job is to make sure that that question is answered, and that we won't go further with another problem until that is completely answered to their satisfaction. So it's not necessarily me that has to be satisfied, but myself and another person. So there's like a test there, and that at least has really helped the sessions that I've led.
Are there other questions that work well for you?
Yeah.
What are they?
My favorite question, after the why question, is what will happen if you don't solve this problem? What will happen if you don't solve the problem? And if nothing comes up, no answer to that question is given, my experience is the problem isn't all that important. Because there's usually always an effect that happens when a problem isn't solved that is truly a requirement. And this is how I often flush out between a must, we must do this, or we should, could do this, is by asking that question. And I'll hold up the problem statement, if we're at that point, or elements of the problem, and say, I'm either going to put it on the should sheet or the must sheet. And I'm not hearing an answer to this question until I hear an answer, it going on the should list. Give me an answer or it stays over here. And if the room goes silent and I let it go silent as long as necessary, I'll say, well, it's staying on here until I hear something that it compels me to put it on the must list.
Well, Steve, I know you have a lot more to tell us about requirements, and I'm going to save that for another time. I hope you'll come back and talk to me again.
I would love to.
Yeah,
thank you for spending the time with me,
yeah,
Esther.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's been my pleasure. Thank you very much for listening to the iPodcast. Tune in again for the next one when I'll be talking to another one of the iHosts.